Hello, and welcome to my art update podcast. Podcast? What's a podcast? Some kind of weird ghast that comes from a... Anyway, my art update podcast thingy. This is episode 28. Keep on trucking. I'm just pulling random titles out of my ass now. Just the usual holler here. The purpose of this podcast is to update people who know me, Andrew Woolner, about what's been going on creatively for me over the last week. Of course, you know, some life updates get rolled into that too. So if you don't know me and you've never heard of me and you're just a sort of general audience, I mean, you're welcome, but I have made no efforts to tailor this podcast to you. If this is your first update and you haven't been keeping up with me over the years, I suggest checking out update number one and maybe update number two to bring yourself up to date before jumping back here. As you'll be able to hear from my mistakes, I do minimal editing on this thing because I have got to get it out the door and I am under a lot of time pressure. Okay, let's just get right into those updates. YTG updates. Right, Jekyll and Hyde main stage production. We've had two rehearsals since last update. I got sick from whatever my son had this last week. So I missed Thursday's rehearsal because I had to take him to the doctor. And after that, I was feeling so crappy myself that I couldn't even attend the rehearsal on Zoom. I logged in for a minute. They said, "How are you feeling?" I said, "I'm feeling like shit." They said, "You know what? Go lie down." So while I wasn't there, they did some rehearsals and they came to an agreement on the central theme of revolution, which I guess is good. I guess is okay. I mean, that's one of the ones I'd suggested, so I have no reason to complain, I suppose. On Monday, so the assignment was for everybody after that rehearsal to think about story structure, to like lock in a structure that we could... I think it's premature. So anyway, on Monday, at a rehearsal on Monday, the first thing we did is sort of vote on that, which I thought was a bit weird. And like I said, I think it's premature. I sort of advocated for let's have an emergent story structure, let's continue with world building and just sort of see what happens. But Mike was really, he proposed this sort of montage story structure idea, and he sort of talked everyone around to that, and except me, not because I wanted anything else specifically, but just because I thought that I feel like the material will present its form to us, and I'm a strong believer of that. But I was outvoted, so we're doing a montage. I still think that there's a lot of freedom in that for something to emerge. I really love working with Mike because he's very good at running a rehearsal room. He's very insightful in terms of working how to work with different types of actors. He's a better director than I am, but he's very much into working sort of thematically and very abstractly about things. And I like doing that kind of stuff, but I like to have character driven moments, even if the character is like the actor themselves. And I like sometimes to have, if narratives emerge naturally, I like to not exclude them. So I mean, I don't think he would exclude them either, but he's sort of he's very theme chauvinist, if that's... I don't mean chauvinist in a derogatory sense, in a negative sense, but I mean he's very sort of focused. He's focused on that. He loves just focusing on themes. Yeah. So we'll see what happens. We came in then yesterday on Wednesday. We didn't have a rehearsal at the space because the Hula ladies are in again this week. So instead we met at the nearby Starbucks. We did some actually just sort of practical stuff. We discussed some assignment of roles. I kind of delegated some of the stage managery stuff I'd been doing solely to some other people, and along with some box office manager stuff and a little bit of the marketing things. I suggested we talked about the structure again to bring the people who hadn't been there on Monday up to date. And I suggested, to give the show more focus, that maybe we allow me to like build the world based on the ideas we came up a couple of weeks ago in the technical rehearsal of having the sort of these three sort of pieces of this world, which is the top level piece where the rich people live, which is this vector wave. But anyway, this is a 1980s cyberpunk sort of look with neo-Victorian kind of silhouettes for the costumes and stuff like that. And that's like the sort of upper class world. And then you have Pearl Town, which is sort of raggedy and falling apart and looks, actually the architecture there looks quite Victorian. And it looks like it's been around since the 1800s and it's kind of crumbling. And then you have the third world, which is the Riverlands, which is where our boat lady, our boat woman comes from. And that's sort of to represent, so sort of contrast urban with rural and to have these three worlds. And so my assignment over the weekend is to do some more world building and sort of create the strictures within the montage scenes are created. And I think that will, that will maybe allow some interesting stuff to emerge. So that was sort of, for me, that was like a nice, I don't want to say compromise, but it makes me feel like, yeah, this show isn't going to go into an abstract direction that it becomes like it becomes sort of really out in space. Like the Berhinja that we did last year was really disconnected from the story. This allows us to sort of nail it down a little bit. What else did we do? Right. So after that, Adriana wanted to borrow a guitar. So apparently she was looking into renting one. And Isadora said that I told her that I might have some. So she came back here to the house to borrow actually my wife's guitar, since that's the one I never use. No one ever uses. So it'd be nice for it to get used. This is also good because one of the assignments we have for Mike is to do art presents. So we've been assigned another person in the group and we have to like talk with them, learn a bit about them and then make an art present for them. So this was an opportunity for me to actually like talk with her since we haven't had that much time in rehearsals to do that. I usually eat my lunch in the room because I bring it and everybody else goes out. So I'm usually just there by myself and I don't get to have discussions with people. All right. I just noticed my vocal energy is really low. Coming back up. Right. Where are we? Got to scroll down here. Right. Oh, the other nice thing about having Adriana over is that it made me pull out my guitar because finding out that, you know, because I'd mentioned, well, I'm not going to lend you my main guitar. I'm not going to lend you my baby. And then, so of course, because I'd mentioned it, she wanted to see it. So it gave me an excuse to pull my guitar out and actually like play a little bit. And oh boy, it is not so much like riding a bike. It's been so long since I played. I've actually really lost a lot of the muscle memory. Now, I really need to find some time to practice so I can get back sort of up to speed on this. Right, other stuff related to YTG. The webpage for Jekyll and Hyde is still not up because I still, the ticketing stuff is still garbage. I found a new ticketing provider. They seem perfect. They have, yeah, so like they did all the things I talked about. They can do multiple dates. They can pass the fees on to the customer. The problem is I went to test them out once I'd integrated them into the site and the service fee comes up and it's something berserk. Did I talk about this last week? Maybe I talked about this last week because I discovered it near the end of the week. Anyway, so like a 500 yen ticket comes up with like a 13,000 yen service charge. So, I mean, if those of you who don't process Japanese yen very well, I mean, and maybe don't notice that's two orders of magnitude more. That is like paying for like a $4 US ticket and being charged a $100 service fee. So obviously I had to get in touch with the company. It took them all weekend to get back to me because they weren't working days. And of course they're based in North America and Europe and their time is completely opposite. So they usually email me around like 12:30 in the morning. So after I've gone to sleep, and then I email them when I get up after they've left work. So we've gone back and forth. They finally said they're getting the engineers to work on it, but I don't know. Don't have an ETA from them, which is annoying. Right. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to do. Someone had suggested using Eventbrite. I looked into it. They don't support Japanese yen, so that is a problem. Also, their fees are a little bit high, but they don't support Japanese yen. So that was kind of a no-go from the start. Right. Going into the theater today, actually leaving in less than half an hour. So in the future of this recording, when I'm recording this, but probably in the past as you're listening to this, since I won't have time to put this episode out until tonight when I get home. We are giving up our Thursday rehearsal this week to do a cleanup of the space. Of course, the building owners have pulled back from originally giving us a whole day in the space to do the cleanup because there's a because of the hula ladies, and they're not going to cancel the ballet group in the morning, or they don't have another space to move them to, which means that we can't start until noon, which only gives us like 4 or 5 hours. And they've sort of pulled back, and they Noriko said to me, it's like, oh no, maybe not big cleanup, maybe a little cleanup. And it's like, this place needs such a big cleanup. And the issue isn't just, you know, say being able to get to our stuff. She's like, oh, we can move the boxes that are in front of the YTG stuff and you can get your things that you need out and then we can put them back. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to need. I need access to that area. And to do that, we need to get those boxes out of there. That's not going to happen, but I guess we will move some of the YTG stuff to a more accessible location. But I really need to take this time to organize cables, adapters, tools, and reorganize the booth so that there's space up there and it's reasonably clean. They have so much shit in the place right now because they just had a show on the weekend and they haven't moved any of that stuff out. So we're going to be working around costumes and things like that that are there, which is a bit frustrating. Anyway, that's what I'm off to do. A Nerd Night update. Nerd Night is next Friday. Social media posts should start this week. Javid should be on those. No updates on the podcast. No updates on the Capan show. Other stuff. I found the lighting system adapter that went missing. It was in the box with the hazer. So I am considerably less stressed now. Also, Kendall, who did the video for that flamenco show, he couldn't sync what he shot, so I just helped him out. I fired up my really old version of Pluralize, which is syncing software for video and audio, and I did that. For some reason, DaVinci wasn't able to sync the files, even though the audio should have matched. I don't know why. It's usually quite good, but anyway, I fixed that for him. So hopefully he can get on with editing that, because that... that got us a little bit more money out of that gig. All right. Life updates. As I mentioned earlier, I was sick from Thursday through Sunday last week. I missed my friend Selena's birthday party on the weekend. I originally wasn't planning to go because I don't have a lot of weekends free this month. And so I thought, well, my family is probably going to want me to be around. But actually, my wife had said, oh, no, we're doing other stuff. You can definitely go to a birthday party. But then I got sick and I couldn't go anyway. Yeah. So another big thing that's happened. So we've got the camping trip coming up for the after school club, which is kind of like after school daycare that Hammy goes to. And so this is like one day. So Sunday to Monday. It's going to be so hot. It is so hot right now in this area. And it was brutal last year. We're in these cabins that are just, they're basically, I'd rather be in a tent, because at least the tent isn't infested with a variety of creepy crawlies, and it doesn't feel like it's going to, if there's a good, like, little bit of an earthquake, doesn't feel like it's going to slide down into the river. So yeah, the cabin last year is super gross. I didn't have to share it last year because I don't know what happened to the people I was supposed to be sharing with, but they just never came. They never came into the cabin. Maybe they were sleeping somewhere else. So not looking forward to that. And I've been taken off my official photographer duties for the after school club, which kind of pisses me off. The consensus seems to have been I took too long to deliver the photos from this last year. Now, to put this in context, I shot like 5,000 photos over 2 days. And the reason it took me so long to deliver is I had to go through and I had to edit them. I had to, you know, cut all the ones that were garbage. I had to find the good ones. I had to process them so that like the colors worked. I had to like balance, because I shoot with the intent to do post-processing. Like I sort of shoot in the middle so I can, like, you know, I can not blow out the lights. I can not completely like lose the shadows. So that means that my photos usually need a little bit of tweaking afterwards. And yeah, 5,000 photos, that was probably a good 10 hours of work. And I, you know, I had other stuff to do that was either paying or like high priority during that time. And I couldn't invest 10 hours all at once. And yeah, so it took me like 6 months almost to deliver those photos. And I admit that was a long time. But yeah, so I'm kind of really bummed about that. I guess they just prefer a giant unedited photo dump, and I'm just not willing to do that because I don't want to put my crappy photos up. I'm a photographer. I have, like, I don't want crappy photographs of mine floating around out there. Anyway, this is really going to affect my enjoyment of the trip because obviously I have issues communicating with a lot of the other people because of the language barrier. And it means I'm going to be having to do like a lot of the sort of setup and cooking and stuff like that, which I don't have a problem with doing that kind of work. But the problem is that it's hard for me to understand the exact instructions. And it's just so much stress. I mean, my regular social anxiety on top of not being able to communicate clearly, on top of really worrying about messing up tasks. Yeah, it was just much safer for me last year being behind the camera. And that level of interaction suited me perfectly. And I'm kind of upset that I'm not doing that this year. Anyway, so it's going to affect my enjoyment of the trip, which is already pretty low because I am not a sweated out in the buggy forest kind of guy. Yeah. Anyway, so sorry on that low note, out of an otherwise sort of positive week. I will bid you adieu. That's all for now. Andrew out.